Of the 10,000 deer tested in Wisconsin this year, 600 had chronic wasting disease. Larry Mueller here. Again, thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. Our guest today, I'm going to have him explain what the statistic could mean for the future of white-tailed deer in Wisconsin. He has some ideas on what can be done to combat the disease. In the studio with me, Michael Foy, Mike, retired DNR field wildlife biologist, 15 years of experience working with CWD, and I'm really interested in talking with him, and I bet you are as well. How has CWD affected where or if you hunt? What questions do you have about the disease? I'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org, or you could also tweet us at L. Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Michael Foy, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your experience and background with chronic wasting disease, just to start with.
Well, I've retired from DNR. I've spent 30 years working for them as a county wildlife biologist, so I want to make clear I'm not a disease expert or even a deer expert, for that matter. I was a generalist biologist, just handling all kinds of day-to-day tasks. However, in 2002... when the word first came out that we had CWD in Wisconsin, it was kind of a thunderbolt to all of us because, we're 900 miles east of where it was known at that time. And it just happened to be right in the area where I was assigned to do my job. And so from early on, I was heavily involved in sampling and other efforts to try and control it here in Wisconsin.
So you've been working very closely with it for a whole lot of time. And you know what? I think everybody's heard about CWD, but let's go back to some of the basics. What does the disease do? How's it spread? And what is the threat to people?
Well, those are great questions, and we don't have a lot of great answers for them. CWD is thought to be a prion disease. It's in the group called TSEs, or transmissible spongiform encephalopathies, which is a mouthful.
Yeah.
But the body doesn't really have a immune response to TSEs. The prions are misshapen proteins that are in all of us already, but somehow they get misshapen, and then they start causing problems. And it's related to BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, commonly known as mad cow. It's related to scrapie sheep, and potentially related to some human diseases called variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease.
And its threat to people, we're still unclear as to that.
Yeah, there's no evidence that anybody has ever gotten sick from chronic wasting disease. However, the TSEs have a pattern that's been identified where they crop up in one animal group, and then they stay in that group for a long time, and then potentially figure out, I'm being euphemistic, I guess, but they figure out how to cross that species barrier, and then they spread to another animal group. And that's what happened with BSE, and just this last summer, some Canadian and German researchers were able to show that macaque monkeys, which are genetically very similar to people, could be infected by eating chronic wasting disease infected meat and other tissues. So it's a big unknown, and it's somewhat alarming, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mentioned at the start that there were 600 out of 10,000 samples here in Wisconsin testing positive. Can you, what does that mean if you extrapolate those numbers?
Well, first of all, I want to be very careful that the statistics folks that I talk to are, you know, they're very goosey about people extrapolating without knowing whether our sampling was representative of the population as a whole. But having said that, I think it's pretty clear that there are thousands of CWD-positive deer, thousands were taken last year, like, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, maybe more. We only know what happened to just fewer than 600. So, again, it's a concern.
Yeah, I know we're getting Facebook and email messages here, and I want to get to those in a minute. But what's our current efforts here to combat it? We don't really have an effort to combat it, as far as I can see. It looks more like just monitoring.
Yeah, and you know, we need to appreciate that nobody really knows how to combat it. It's a very difficult issue. Again, it's not a bacteria. It's not a virus. It doesn't respond to you know, normal antibiotics or anything like that. It's hard to denature. There's no vaccine for it. There's people working on vaccines, but none that are effective at this point. There's not a lot of good ideas. I would say that the Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies just published their recommendations, which are probably considered the state of the art right now. And they mainly suggest that you try and reduce prevalence in hotspot areas. You try and avoid concentrating deer, and you consider applying extra harvest pressure on, particularly on young and male cohorts, to try and combat it.
Now, Joanna on Facebook says she's no longer willing to eat venison, which means her husband is not hunting. This is because they know the state is no longer monitoring the health of the herd around the state. So it's kind of like, she says, it's kind of like Russian roulette. And when you think about the value in terms of a monetary value, we're looking at a huge industry here.
It is a huge thing. I will say to Joanna that the state is monitoring, I think, of doing pretty much a pretty good job with the resources available. The issue is what to do about it, but they are monitoring it. And, of course, we'd love to have complete sampling, but that's probably prohibitively expensive.
Yeah. Bruce from Maribel emailed to say there are, and this is the subject of game farms, there are differing points of view about game farms. Some people say game farms are a problem and have CWD deer, while others say the deer are CWD free and may actually be used to replenish the wild herd in the future. Are these farms a problem or a potential savior?
Yes. the situation is not clear. We have CWD detected in wild deer in 23 counties in Wisconsin right now. Of those, 15 only have it in wild deer, so the deer farmers are probably justified in saying, hey, we had nothing to do with those 15 counties. On the other hand, CWDs were detected in 6 counties only in captive deer farms. So, you know, they got to acknowledge probably that there's some issue there. And then we have 8 counties that have it both in wild and captive deer. So, the deer farming is an issue. I will say that they are working closely with DATCAP, which regulates them, and DATCAP and the deer farmers are working with DNR and Department of Health Services. I think there is shared concern about this, but everybody has to chip in somehow. Otherwise, we're going to be in, I think, a big bit of trouble on this.
You can join in, too, by the way, with your own questions or comments or concerns. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org, or you can go ahead and post on our Facebook page. I'd certainly love to hear from you. The cost for the state in terms of the, if you just looked at dollars and cents, it could be like a $1 billion industry.
Yeah, CWD, the deer resource in Wisconsin and deer hunting as a recreation is a very valuable resource to this state. The estimates are regularly over $1 billion per year in total economic output. License sales are over $23 million a year. State and federal taxes are in the tens even hundreds of millions of dollars, just the sales taxes on the equipment and everything that's purchased. Of course, the taverns, the motels, the supper clubs, the co-ops, the sporting goods stores, gas stations. It's a really big deal. The thing I think people don't necessarily appreciate is because it's spread out across the whole state in every little town and burg and crossroads, it doesn't get the attention that a big plant does that's making, some manufactured product. But it is a big economic driver. Some folks have estimated that if it all happened in one spot, it would be equivalent to like the 12th or 15th largest company in the state.
Wow. Mark, do you have a quick comment? Thanks for calling.
Yes, I worked at the first CWD testing station in Black Earth, and it was allowed to harvest a whole cooler full of tenderloins because they were just being pitched out. I ate them with no ill effects. And Daryl Bazell was the director of the DNR at the time. And I was his assistant. And all these cameras were on us at the same time. And in cutting the deer heads off, the deer head off, he slipped and nicked me with his knife. I didn't see anything at the time because that would have been a real snafu with the news media. But he thanked me later on for not seeing anything.
We'll get a comment on that. We need to take a quick look at the news, and then we'll be back with our guest, Michael Foy. You stay with us. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking about CWD in our white-tailed deer herd in Wisconsin. The value, the contribution of the herd to the state's economy has been valued at over $1 billion. Chronic wasting disease, a big threat to our resource. And my guest is Michael Foy, a retired DNR field wildlife biologist. He's had 15 years of experience working with CWD. I hope you'll join in with your own questions or concerns about CWD or chronic wasting disease. How do you think we should combat it? Michael has some really interesting ideas about that, and we're certainly going to go into those in depth here before the show is over. You can join in 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@WPR.org. And I'm going to go back to our caller just before the news who worked in the first field testing for CWD way back.
Yeah, my one word of trying to maybe console Mark is that I have been nicked and splashed and pooped on by lots of deer over the last 15 years, many of which were positive for CWD. And so far, I'm still kicking, so maybe he can sleep a little better at night.
Jeff in Wausau, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I. We had a meeting last Thursday night in Lincoln County with a wildlife biologist and a DNR warden because there was a case found in the wild in Lincoln County this last hunting season. And a question that came up in the meeting, obviously they're trying to help with the non-baiting because of the saliva will transmit the disease. But I was found out in that meeting that it can also be contracted. And I was just wondering, since I don't know the percentage, but it's close to 100% of all the urine pores that...
Oh, we just lost you, Jeff. I'm sorry.
I think I got the gist. Jeff's wondering why we're still allowing hunters to use urine lures. I don't know that anybody has been able to demonstrate that commercially available urine products can infect deer with CWD. I know there's a lot of people working on trying to certify urine collection only from CWD-free sources. But, you know, it is one more possible route of transmission, and it is a concern, and I share that concern with Jeff.
Yeah. Todd in La Crosse, thank you for calling. Hi, Todd.
Hello. Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, and thanks a lot for doing the show. I guess I have a comment or two. I've been following this for quite a while, and in some ways I think the earlier efforts of the DNR in the early days, I don't know if we'd say they backfired, but then we kind of backed off of the aggressive approach. But I really think things are changing. I hope they are. That, you know, we have the political will to do something now aggressively again. I have a concern. I guess I still hear so many people that don't seem to take it seriously, or it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And in terms of baiting, moving carcasses, all sorts of things we could do, you know, I think it's time to really take action.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call, Todd. And that, I think that brings us to your thoughts on this, Michael. You've got some ideas as to what we could do in terms of being really aggressive.
Yeah, Todd's correct. You know, when this first showed up in 2002, it was three deer taken in the town of Vermont in western Dane County were the first ones, and they were actually from the 2001 deer season. You know, nobody really knew what to do. I equate it in some ways to the early days of the HIV epidemic in people, as there was lots of alarm. There was lots of calls to do something, anything. The DNR and other agencies, we proceeded with not a lot of knowledge as to what might work. As many people know, in the early days, the main goal was to increase deer harvest, reduce density overall, with the hope that if it was a density dependent transmission, that you could reduce density to a point where the disease would peter out. Unfortunately, subsequent research has kind of shown that while density plays a role, it's primarily a frequency-dependent disease, the transmission, which basically means disease begets more disease. And if you have a high percentage of sick deer, then you're going to get more sick deer, at least in the early stages of the disease, which usually refers to the first 50 years.
You have some ideas about what, in terms of being aggressive, in terms of what we could do here. It involves some money.
Yeah. I'm just totally convinced that if we do not take steps to reduce CWD prevalence in our deer herd, that we are potentially at risk of deer hunting as a recreation and the deer resource that supports it collapsing in significant areas of the state. And to me, the DNR alone, the agencies, state government, by themselves, they just don't have the horsepower to do this. It's going to take a cooperative effort with landowners, hunters, small businesses. They're the only ones that can garner enough enough collective resources numerically, financially, in order to make this work. And basically, I'm proposing that we start rewarding hunters that are able to shoot positive deer for us, CWD positive deer, reward the landowners that allow them access to their land to do that, and we reward the small businesses that take the samples and otherwise facilitate us finding out where this disease is and the true extent of it. Again, you know, 20 or 30 DNR shooters, and I used to be one of them, there's just not enough of us. It's just, that was clear right from the start.
And so you're talking about a significant cost. I think Whitetails Unlimited actually got into a situation or helped in a payment situation of a couple hundred bucks or something like that.
Yep, they did try that early on. In my view, it was never enough to be a fair test, and it was dropped relatively quickly when early survey results didn't show much effect. But what I equate this to is how much should we invest to protect a resource of such value? The analogy I use often is in 2006, as many of us know here in Dane County, there was a very severe hailstorm that summer, and then the subsequent summer, I think Dane County municipalities issued over 40,000 building permits to repair roofs. My wife and I had to repair ours. Virtually everybody on our street did. And we spent 5% of the appraised value of our house in order to put a new roof on it. And, of course, the reason is obvious. We had holes in our roof, and if we did not do that, our whole house would have been spoiled. So that's kind of the way I look at this, is that we need to spend, right now we're spending 0.1% of the value of that deer resources just to kind of monitor what's going on as best we can. And we need to be spending 1-5% of the value of it in order to get on top of this disease before it takes, it basically gets away from us.
So you're talking about a budget into the millions.
Yes. Yeah, and you know, something I often do, I ask folks to rank these four things. The Milwaukee Brewers, Wisconsin Deer Hunting, Green Bay Packers, and the Milwaukee Bucks. And they think about it for a few minutes, and you know, maybe we should have your listeners think about that for a minute. But they come back, and they have different, depending on what they like to do. Some people aren't team sports fans at all, and they, you know, they're quick to say the deer hunting. Others aren't fans of any kind of those things, and they say, hey, I don't care about them. But most people say that I've heard express an opinion to me, well, of course, the Packers are first. It's a religion here in Wisconsin. Then it's deer hunting or Milwaukee Brewers. And they switch back and forth. The Bucks are kind of on the tail end, but they're all important to people. And I think the point is that deer hunting and the deer resource should be in that group. And each one of those professional sports teams, the citizens of the state have spent at least $250 million of public money to keep them viable in this state because they're so important to our culture and economy. So that's what I'm asking, is that we give an investment in this resource commensurate to its value.
Yeah. So you're talking about paying maybe even a fair amount of money for taking a deer that turns out to be CWD, maybe $1,000.
Yeah, I try not to put a value on it because that's not my job. You know, the point is we need to be removing at least 20% of our CWD positive deer out of this population every year to even have a chance to keep prevalence down. and likely it's 30, 40, or 50%. And the proof of how much is the right amount is what it takes to get that kind of removal. And I have speculated that it's likely at least $1,000, because we tried $200 in that early pilot, and that didn't make much difference. But again, the point is not how much it should be, is how much does it need to be to get the response from hunters and landowners and small businesses to make this work.
Mark in Waukesha, it's your turn. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, just a pretty quick comment is, with CWD and with all things like this, we have to get the politics out of it. We don't need Kathy Stepp or Scott Walker deciding on what's the best avenue. The DNR has hired biologists and wildlife technicians who are trained, who are passionate, who've got years of experience. Let them make the final call. That's it.
All right.
Well, my answer to Mark is, and you know, I'm not stranger to politics. Anybody who works in government for 30 years sees a bit of it. But this really isn't a political issue in my book. It's something that we all need to work together to do, because without it, we are going to lose and lose a very valuable resource. And I guess I would just leave it at that. We all need to work together.
John in West Bend, your turn. Thanks for calling, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good, appreciate the call.
What I have to say, what I want to say is that when I heard the number of 6%, I was shocked that 6% of deer is infected, which is a huge. And the only that sounds like epidemic. That is epidemic. To reach, like the gentleman said, to reach 50%, which would be same as 100%, it's not very hard to achieve with the frequencies that you discussed. And I would like to suggest that you need very thorough development of a grid over the state of Wisconsin with counties. Following the counties, or however you want to develop that grid, and perform sampling of at least 10%, that will give you 99% confidence level of the population and ascertain their status. Because right now you don't know how serious is that problem, but I would think, I would assume it's epidemic. Because 6% is huge number. It's in statistics, you cannot accept failure rate of 6% anywhere.
Yeah,
John, I would speculate there's a number of people that are starting to call this an epidemic. I will say that Wisconsin practices what's widely thought of as state-of-the-art statistical sampling. There's a number of goals of finding new infections, figuring out how bad they are when you find them, and then monitoring prevalence. But they use a weighted surveillance program that has been worked out by experts all over the world, in fact, including some very, very smart people here, right here at the UW system in Wisconsin. But there are limitations. It costs the DNR about $80 for each test. And in fact, the test kits were in short supply this year. And with 23 other states all scrambling for test kits, the test capacity is starting to become challenged.
Oh, boy.
For 40 years, so I understand statistics quite well.
Yeah.
I would also like to say that here in West Bend, we have a very, very, very beautiful park called Rigner's Park. And that Rigner Park has a herd of deers. On this Christmas Day, this year, we had a major problem with one of the deers that on Highway 18 was ran over by a She ran on an icy area, couldn't get away, and somebody hit her, and she was dying for the longest time. The question is, was that deer infected or not. And there were cops around the deer. There were many residents around the deer. And is there a chance that anybody can get infected? On one occasion, that herd of deer ran directly by me, a couple of feet away from me. I thought I was going to get scared out of my wits. they were running at me, but they ran by me. And I don't know if they have this problem or not, but I think $80 is peanuts, small potatoes when it comes to finding out how serious is this problem. And I think we don't know that we don't know.
Yeah.
Those are all good points, John. I will reassure you that you're unlikely to have any issues from casual contact, even let alone just deer in the vicinity. We're worried more about what's to come rather than, you know, the situation right now.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Harold in River Falls, what's on your mind?
Yeah. Hi, have you got me?
Yes.
Yeah, hi, Larry. Michael said something about putting a price tag on $1,000 on a deer that has chronic wasting disease, and I really don't think that's going to work very well because deer don't go running around the woods with chronic waste stamped on their forehead so that you know that that's a diseased deer. So I don't know just exactly how that would be handled. The other thing I wanted to bring up quickly was I'm a big fan of the Wisconsin Outdoor News, and in their last issue on February 23rd, on page 8 and 9, they cover this issue quite a bit. There's some things that I found very interesting, and I'll throw this out quick. The state's worst site, I'm going to read a little bit. The state's worst site remains the former Buckhorn Flats Game Farm, which had 80 deer test positive on a 70-acre parcel, and they shot 70 of the last deer that were remaining, and 60 were found to have chronic wasting disease or something like that number, but it was an 80% infection rate on that facility.
You know what, I'm going to break in just because we're shortening up on time here, and just for a comment from Mike.
Yeah, Harold, that's an excellent question, and I'll try and say this pretty quickly. Yes, of course, most of the deer that are sick, that are CWD positive, do not appear to have anything wrong with them. It's only when they get the last 3 months of their life that they get the clinical symptoms. So how do you do this? And basically, I would say you use probability and statistics. My brother-in-law was a petroleum geologist, spent 35 years going all over the world finding petroleum reserves, and they use probability to do it. They can't see where that stuff is either. It's all underground. They use probability. Life insurance companies use probability to figure out when we're all likely to die, and then they set their premiums so that they make billions of dollars. You don't need to be able to necessarily tell which deer is sick. You need to know where the sick deer are and then encourage hunters and landowners to take appropriate action using prevalence maps that are constructed using statistics.
Yeah. And what do people who might be supportive of this or interested in more, what do they do?
Well, this is just a proposal in the broadest sense of the word right now. There's no rules or laws or anything, but I'm just hoping that we start to give this situation the concern that it deserves based on how much it's worth to our state. We're regularly ranked in the top 10 deer hunting states in the country, and you know, we have 663,000 licensed buyers. It is very, very significant here, and we need to start doing something, or pretty soon the prevalence will be so high, and it does contaminate the environment, that even if a vaccine or something does come along, we may be too late to do anything.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It's obviously something that comes up every time I do a show on the outdoors and wildlife that CWD doesn't come up. So I know there's a lot of concern, and you've got an interesting idea here, an interesting proposal, and I hope people take a closer look at it. Appreciate your time.
Oh, no problem, Larry. And I just wanted to say that I would make this completely voluntary. So just the people that want to help out can help out, but we need everybody's help.
Michael Foy, a retired DNR wildlife biologist, 15 years of experience working with CWD. I'm sure we'll be talking about it again. Stay with us.